This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Stu, did we do the Lord's work today? Or are you proud of what we did today?
You did the Lord's work, the Lord of Darkness. You evil.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We took on a few issues today. You don't want to miss a second of it. And don't forget, tomorrow is Tim Kennedy, who is. It's an amazing podcast. We talk about, you know, the bad guys of World War II. I mean, this is just one part of it. The bad guys of World War II and Hitler, is he alive or dead? He thinks if he had to bet, yeah. It's crazy. He did this show, but we talked much more than just what he found a couple of years ago in Hunting.
Alive or dead, or just escaped initially?
Like, well, yeah, escaped, yeah. Back in the day. Escaped. Okay. Not, yeah, he's still not alive. Yeah. They've got his brain in Walt Disney's body.
Really?
Right by, yes.
Wow.
Right there by the Tiki Tiki Lounge. Oh. So it's crazy. Anyway, today's podcast brought to you by Jace Medical. I don't know about you, but we don't make medicine here, and I think that's a problem. You know, it's not that I'm worried about China. You know, sure, our relationship with China seems really cozy. We rely on China for a lot of our medicine. If things go bad, what about antibiotics? We have antibiotics. There's a shortage on some of the biggest or most used antibiotics right now in America. This is why I want you to go to JaceMedical.com. They have the Jace case, which contains 5 different courses of antibiotics that you can use to treat a long list of bacterial illnesses, things like UTIs, respiratory infections, sinusitis, skin infections, all of it. Don't get caught unprepared. JaceMedical.com. Enter the promo code BECK at checkout. Get a discount on your order. It is JaceMedical.com. Promo code BECK.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Floyd, my man, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. So, we are at a time now where I think this is the, you know, right. Reagan said it. Now is the time for choosing. This is the time where you have to decide what side you're on. And I think there are many strange bedfellows that can be made at this point because people are standing up from all walks of life. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I actually, my book is called Counterpunch, but the subtitle is An Unlikely Alliance of Americans Fighting Back for Faith and Freedom. And I think you are absolutely correct. America is at an inflection point, and we've been under such a barrage of what I call false narratives for so long now. And, I mean, you deal with all of these false narratives from climate change is caused by man to Trump was a Russian spy, Biden laptop was Russian propaganda. I mean, we get all these false narratives, and false narratives, their purpose is to make people feel alone, isolated, and like they can't do anything.
Correct.
And so, you know, I travel the country and speak at conferences, and I kept hearing from everyone, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? So I thought I would put together a book that explained to them that they have the most power right around them. It's a lesson that I learned a long time ago. We underestimate the power that we have to influence the people that are right around us. You know, local action can have national impact. And so it's really a time for people to get engaged. It's time for people to start building community again. You know, they put us on house arrest. They locked us all down. Mm-hmm. They tried to do everything they could to break the bonds of community. And we've got to go the extra step and start rebuilding those bonds of community.
So how do you do that when sometimes your family just can't even get together?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I suggest is people get to know their neighbors again. Most people live on a street. Most people, you know, live in an apartment building. There's somewhere where there's neighbors nearby, but Americans don't know them anymore. And so you can do things as simple as have coffee with them. And then I talk about several examples of groups and organizations that have organically grown up as a result of somebody just stepping out. I talk about a guy named Basil Firmenos, who's in North Phoenix. Basil was upset with mask mandates, and so he texted 50 of his friends to come to a coffee shop and meet him, and 250 people showed up.
Wow.
And so that group, was launched, and they still meet. They meet Mondays, every other Monday, and they've been involved in school board races, local legislative races. They are making change right where they live. And that's how we fix the country. You know, nobody's going to ride in on their white horse into Washington, D.C. and fix everything. That's not the solution to our problems.
No.
People have to occupy right where they're at.
There is there's something also that I think is, for me at least, the most important thing. Jason Whitlock yesterday said, stop calling me a conservative. I'm a Christian. I'm not necessarily conservative. And I heard a great priest talk about this recently on a YouTube video I watched, where he said, I'm tired of hearing about a liberal priest or a conservative priest. He said, there's neither of those. If you're for gay marriage, you're not a liberal priest. You're not a priest. If you are for, transgenderism and the mutilation of our children, you're not a liberal priest, and I'm not a conservative priest for standing against it. You're just not a priest. And I think establishing ourselves with our faith, and I don't know how many people really have that deep of faith anymore, but reestablishing that, no, I have two citizenships, one to the United States, and my first citizenship is to the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to break those laws in either of those citizenships. I can't do it and be a good citizen.
No, you are exactly right. This is a spiritual warfare. You know, we all know that Tucker Carlson just recently was released at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the speculation, because we don't know everything that happened, is that he was starting to talk in terms of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And he was calling out people as evil. He gave this speech to the Heritage Foundation on their 50th anniversary, where he said things that offend the elites. And so I think that that's a big part of why he might have been removed. So you're right. It is a spiritual battle. And, I encourage people to get back into Scripture. I think one of the ways that you can discern these false narratives is if you're putting good things into your mind. And the Bible and the Scripture is full of wisdom. So, turn off social media, turn off Twitter, turn off Facebook, and spend some time in the Bible. And I think it will really change your perspective about things.
I think it's really hard, if people went and swore off, movies, TV shows that are on Netflix, people don't realize how far we have drifted just in the last 10 years. You can't watch anything anymore that, you would have thought was good and wholesome 15 years ago. They don't exist. And what's good and wholesome now is still filthy.
Yeah, well, that's that's one of the good things about having these streaming sites is we can watch old programs. I mean, my wife and I, we watch Murder, She Wrote, which came out during the Reagan era.
Right.
So, but you know, Alinsky, who was the most powerful influence on the left and wrote Rules for Radicals, he was a great tactical strategist. And what he helped the left do was maximize their influence, but he did it by ridicule and ripping people apart. His
right.
strategies are incredibly divisive. And in fact, you know, he dedicated his book to Lucifer, the most divisive person in the spiritual realm. And I actually encourage people to do the opposite of Alinsky, and that is start to love the people around
yes.
you. Start to love your neighbors. Start to re-engage with your neighbors. And then find people like you that you want to work with, and then get involved in your school board race. Get involved in some of these key things because, you know, we still have the Bill of Rights. We still have freedom of the press. And if we don't exercise these freedoms, we will lose them.
I think that's one of the most important things that you have said is start to love your enemy. I gave a speech a couple of nights ago in Virginia, and I said, you know, their hatred comes from darkness and ignorance. And there is a hatred that is spreading all over the world that is just evil. And if we really are disciples of Christ, we have to love our enemies. And we have to start looking at some of these people. Some of these people know exactly what they're engaged in. I think a lot of other people don't really know, and they've just kind of eased their way into it, and they don't realize that they're up to their neck in evil now. And the Lord wants all of his kids back, not just us, not one side or the other. He wants all of them to return to him. And you're never going to accomplish that with hatred and anger and violence. Never.
No. I mean, his message is a message of love, of radical love. And, you know, when I was growing up, we had the Kiwanis Club, we had the Lions Club, we had the Rotary Club. We had all of these civic organizations that were building the local community. And, you know, those organizations now are all in really tough shape. They're smaller after COVID. A lot of people didn't come back. A lot of them will never re-engage. We have to rebuild community and start with our neighborhoods and start with our neighbors. And we can take back the country literally town by town, city by city, county by county. There's over 3,000 counties in America that are, in essence, red counties. And a lot of times they aren't being run that way because people just aren't active in their communities. And politics encourages and invites and attracts some of the worst elements.
Mm. Floyd, thank you so much. The name of the book that he's just put out is Counterpunch. His name is Floyd Brown. You can get Counterpunch wherever you get your books. And you can also find much of his work at WesternJournal.com, WesternJournal.com. Floyd, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.
You bet. Bye-bye. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We're glad you're here. Now, I want to talk to you about your elections. You may have elections going on. Texas, I know, has elections going on right now through May 2nd. Election day is Saturday, May 6th. But these are the ones where they get you, because they're very organized. And some of these elections, many of them school board elections, they can be won by 3 votes because 7 people have voted. Okay. Nobody goes out and votes. You need to call your friends and organize your neighborhood. Literally, if you put 10 people in a car, you could be the difference on a winning and losing election in an election like what's happening right now. I want to introduce you to Stephanie Allod. She is, and now don't hold this against her, okay? Yes, she's a California native, but she got to Texas as soon as she could. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah. So you moved from California. You moved to Frisco, which is a really nice part of North Texas, and it has great schools. And you got into the schools, and then you started paying attention to what was being said because of COVID. And what happened?
Right. Well, the first few years were great. We've been here 10 years. And then I started to notice some things even before COVID, but then after COVID, definitely. And so I went to a school board meeting just about 2 years ago, actually, and I just did not like what I saw at all. I felt like the parents who had taken time to be there were very disrespected. In fact, the school board president at the time said, "This is our meeting," meaning theirs and not ours. And it just didn't sit right with me. So to make a very long story short, I ended up running for school board last year and I won. So I have been a school board member for about a year now.
And you found out, and we have the tape, we're going to play it here in a second. You found out that other members of the school board were meeting without you to try to figure out how to pretty much silence you.
Yes, I did find that out recently.
And, well, let's play it. You want to set this audio up?
Well, yeah, from what I understand, I can, sure. So what happened last fall was that myself and another trustee put an item on the agenda related to bathroom policy. And so that it took a while, and now I know why it took a while. Once you hear what you're about to play, it'll probably make more sense. But it took a while, and I didn't really think that much about the fact that it took a while, even though we have procedures as part of the board in terms of how long things should take before they get on an agenda when trustees request it. But anyways, apparently there was some constituents of our community who were angry about the policy. So our three board officers met with them to address their concerns. And they were concerned that we had just passed a policy saying, you know, boys use boys' restrooms, girls use girls' restrooms. They were upset about that. And so this audio was the three board officers kind of responding to those concerns.
Now listen to this. Go ahead.
I am so tired of having, because every time it's on a board meeting, every time it's on an agenda, the entire tape crowd now can come and speak about how terrible they think our transgender students are.
Stop for a second. This woman is saying, I am so sick and tired of it. Every time we talk about bathrooms, then the entire hate crowd comes in and we have to listen to how much they hate it. Go ahead.
Marvin and Stephanie are going to keep on. But every time they're going to ruin every meeting this year.
Ruin every meeting.
Yes. And I have mechanisms in place that I can push and I can use our subcommittee structure. And they wanted to vote on this in July. Mm-hmm. It's November. That's how long I've been able to push this out. And so, like, I have mechanisms by which I can do that. And I can also put it on any agenda. They want it on the regular board meetings because it's a show. If they ask for anything transgender policy going forward, it will be on a special meeting in the middle of the day that no one goes to.
And the only way we can combat what they're doing is to make sure our board stays in the majority of good guys. That's all we can do. Because the
state, but if they change the state law,
they won't. They will try, but they have never been successful in passing a bathroom policy at the state level.
Because we need to be in the audience listening to what their narrative is so that we have a defense mechanism.
That is incredible. In case you need a recap, some of the things discussed there was we're tired of the people coming to the meetings and wrecking the meetings. And Stephanie and her fellow board member, they keep coming and they're going to wreck all of these meetings. Then the next one says, I can keep it off the agenda. They wanted to do this in July. It's now November, and I have mechanisms that will keep it off the agenda. And the other one says, and if they want to put it on the agenda, we can put it on in the day so nobody comes, and we won't have to deal with all of that. What was the last thing in there? There was
much.
We have to have We have to make sure that the good guys remain in control of the board. The question is, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? When you heard this, Stephanie, what did you think?
I mean, I was shocked. I really was, because, you know, I understand that there's a divide within the board, and that, you know, the existing board members didn't want me on it. I certainly understand that. That was made very clear in last year's election. But, you know, I was surprised that anyone went to this level to do this. And it was very concerning to me to call, you know, to characterize the parents as being a hate crowd. These are parents who came and spent their time and spoke, in most cases, pretty eloquently about their concern about this bathroom practice that the district had, and quite honestly is still practicing. So, you know, they're allowed to come and say that, and that doesn't make them a hate crowd. They were concerned. There were fathers coming concerned about their daughters. There were, you know, there was a mom who came who her son had been impacted by this whole issue of having a biological girl in the boys' restroom. And then, you know, when this mother complained to the school about that, they said, well, your son can use the nurse's restroom if he's uncomfortable. And she came and spoke. That's not a hater. That's just, you know, someone who disagrees. And it, you know, one of the things that concerns me the most about this whole environment that we live in, especially as it relates to school board elections, is if you don't agree with the establishment, then you're a dangerous hate crowd member, right? And you're anti-public education. It's like, it's so ridiculous. It's so intellectually dishonest. It's like, we can disagree and that's okay. But this name calling and this rhetoric is just, it's escalated in Frisco this year because of the board election. And it's really sad to see.
So, first of all, are there people that you've talked to, or you're getting some other people like you on that are running now for the board?
There are two people that I am supporting in this election. I sort of characterize it as establishment candidates versus independent voices. That's how I characterize it. Mm-hmm. And so there are, I've supported Reed Bond and Susan Kershaw. We have two seats up for election this year, and I have publicly endorsed and supported them.
Are they running as, are they Republicans or Democrats or independents?
They are. They're conservative.
Okay.
They are. And they've gotten all the endorsements from all the conservative groups and a lot of the Republican politicians. But because they're nonpartisan races, it doesn't have any kind of party affiliation on the ballot.
Right. And how do you, are there any, I mean, because they're so, they hide. We're open with our view. Look, if you want bathrooms to be shared by, you know, both sexes or all 99, I'm not the candidate for you. They're not open and honest about it. So how do you know that you're standing with somebody that is good?
Well, you know, you just ask questions. And I think a lot of these grassroots organizations, you know, do the vetting. And so that's what I tell people is go look at their questionnaires, go look at who they're endorsing. And you can see some of that. There's also forums that have been online. In fact, I was interested to find out that the Frisco Chamber of Commerce, when they did their forum, that's kind of the biggest forum that we have here. They asked, you know, do you support getting out of the Texas Association of School Boards or not? Because another district recently did. And I thought, well, that's a question.
That's a good one.
And people said yes or no, right?
Yeah.
And so you could see where people fell. The other thing I'll say, just to kind of get back to the video for a quick second, is that one of our state representatives did request that the TEA, the Texas Education Agency, do an investigation into this to see if there was any kind of wrongdoing. And so it is my understanding that that investigation has occurred. So there's been quite a bit of backlash to it, including from several of our elected officials who've gotten involved and are trying to do something to just stop this stuff.
So the Texas Association of School Boards, you know, we know about the school board associations nationally, and the Texas Teachers Unions, they were instrumental in killing school choice here in Texas, which is incredible to me. We have so many spineless Republicans. What role do those guys play in school boards and races like this?
So the Texas Association of School Boards, all trustees become a member once they get sworn in, if your district is a member of that organization. And all districts in Texas, except for one, are, and that would be Carroll ISD in Southlake, who recently just voted to get out of the Texas Association of School Boards. So they are in a process of exiting.
Good.
But basically, they provide training for trustees. They provide legal and others as well, employees, things like that. They also provide legal services for districts and insurance services and things like that.
But they're on the wrong. They're on the wrong side, are they not? Are they not also pushing? Go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen them push quite a bit of progressive ideology. I was not a fan of that organization when I was running because I had heard about this concept called Team of Eight.
Yeah.
And that is basically where you have seven trustees and a superintendent and you're supposed to be a team. And I thought, well, that just seemed counterintuitive to me on the face of it. Cause I thought, well, aren't the trustees supposed to be there to, you know, oversee the district? And
correct.
Isn't the superintendent supposed to report to the board? And isn't the board supposed to be seven independent voices trying to make decisions for the community? So the whole Team of Eight concept, I ran a platform kind of against that. In fact, I think I've specifically said I will not be Team of Eight. I will be an independent voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thoughts before I got on. And then, you know, when I got on the board, I had the chance last fall to go to a convention that was put on by the Texas Association of School Boards. And they brought in ACLU attorneys to talk to the trustees about some of these controversial issues. And I was shocked. I mean, it's one thing to present both sides of an issue, but I didn't see any Heritage Foundation speakers or, you know, anything like that.
Right. Exactly.
I just saw the ACLU. And right. I was quite honestly horrified because it was, you know, you have to allow pornographic books in libraries. Just make sure they're age appropriate, which meant to me, I guess high school's okay, but maybe some books aren't okay for elementary school. But they basically told us there's no book, you know, that you should take out of the library. And some of these books are so explicit. And then they also said, you know, boys should be in girls' locker rooms if that's what they want. And I mean, I heard them say it and I couldn't get my mind around the fact that that's what they were doing. And so there's a lot of that stuff that goes on in the conventions, but even just a lot of the rhetoric from, you know, this organization, they basically said that when you become a trustee, you serve a district and not the voters. And I thought, well, that's, you know,
yeah.
What the heck is that? So I have not been a fan of this organization.
Stephanie, thank you. You are running again already?
No, I am not running.
You're not running. Okay, not good.
Running. No.
Yeah. Pretty I didn't fun. Think so, but
no.
Yeah.
I have a 3-year term, so okay. I'll be in till 2025 at least.
Okay.
But I'm supporting Reed Bond and Susan Kershaw
okay.
to be independent voices for Frisco ISD.
I just wanted to talk to you. Thank you, Stephanie. I just wanted to talk to you for the one reason that these are the elections that count. They will organize in these. The average American doesn't even go. And literally, they can be won by one vote, six votes. You can change everything if you just grab five people, put them in your car, go and vote. Do your homework. But if you have these elections going now locally, you've got to vote.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We are heard every day and watched every day on radio stations all over America, and we are also watched and carried on Blaze TV, Blaze Audio, and podcasts. The same can be said for our good friend Rick Burgess, who is part of Rick and Bubba. And Rick and Bubba are on every morning on Blaze TV, where you can watch their show. They are also heard on radio nationwide. And very, very funny and really, really good guys. Rick Burgess is with us now. He just did an interview that I heard with William Shatner, where William kept referring to Rick as Bubba the entire time, and Rick was nice enough not to tell him. Yeah, Bubba's not on the phone. This is Rick, dude. This is Rick. But welcome to the program, Bubba.
Yeah, yes, I'm. I answer to Rick or Bubba. They say Bubba and I over. You know, we're in our 29th year in right. 4 months. Mm-hmm. So at this point, if someone calls me Bubba at the grocery store, I just answer. Yep. If somebody asks me how his wife's doing, I just pretend. My wife is not happy about this. My wife literally says, Glenn, she says, if another person asks me if I'm married to Rick and Bubba, I'm going to scream. She's I'm only married to one of them.
Right.
So, look, we're interchangeable, and you don't interrupt William Shatner. You don't correct William Shatner.
I had him on my CNN program, I don't know, how long was it ago? Almost 20 years ago now. And he said, you know, I watch you every day. And I said, that sounds kind of creepy. And he said, no, I watch you every day. He said, because it's as if I'm a pyromaniac and I'm just watching everything burn down in front of me. He's really funny.
Have you noticed, and I said this when it was over, you know, Speedy, all the guys on the show, they're like, why didn't you correct him? And of course, Bubba loved the fact that I didn't, because he ended up having to miss the interview, because, you know, you interview William Shatner when he can, when he tells you to.
Right.
And so I said, well, don't worry, Bubba, there's no interviewing Shatner. He said for 8 minutes what he wanted to say, and we were done.
Yeah.
You know, and, and what's sad, though, is Bubba is the one who loves Star Trek. I never watched it as a kid because it wasn't my thing. I really thought Boston Legal and that character, you know, was
good.
The most hilarious one of them.
He is a phenomenal. I mean, this is not what you're on for, so we're going to stop talking about William Shatner. But he is an awesome actor. He really is a very stilted sort of William Shatner sort of way. Anyway, it says right here on my little piece of paper, the topic I'm supposed to address is, why are the majority of church congregations made up of women? Where are the men? But I'm not going with that, because you are the founder of the Man Church. So the answer, correct, where are all the men? They're at Rick or Bubba's church.
That is correct. But let's talk about this. Okay. Here's what we know. Okay, we know this. Do you ever get tired of people hitting you with stats about something and you begin to scream, well, are we going to do anything about it, or just keep talking about this?
Yeah.
So we have been on every, this is what, every Father's Day, every time I've ever been in church, the guy gets up and appreciates it, and he says, well, we've done the survey. We've done the survey again. Let me tell you, men, something. The Barner research is in, and there is no influence that's anywhere near the influence that God gave a man. Now, let me be clear. That does not mean inequality. The men and women are of equal value and equal standing before God Almighty. He created them male and female. However, there's a headship that he gave to man, and there's a maternal connection he gave to woman,
correct,
that you can't just interchange. And the headship does not mean inequality, as we know, you know, that Jesus himself said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. There was a headship in the Father, but the Father and the Son are equal, you know, so it's not inequality. So let's drop all that. But what that we hear is that Barna and all these others have researched that inside a home, if the mother and father are there, if the man becomes a follower of Christ, there is the highest it ever was, there's a 93% chance the rest of the family will follow his spiritual lead. And then I think now down it's to 78 or 82. But it drops substantially down to, if mom becomes a spiritual leader of the home, it gets like to 23% that the rest of the house will follow. If it's a child, it's in single digits that child could influence the rest of their family. So the question that we asked at themanchurch.com, or God finally, you know, convicted me, are you just going to keep talking about this, or why don't you quit waiting for someone else to do something? And I said, well, what are we actually doing about it? And most Western churches, if you go in, you will find that they'll say this on Father's Day, but if you looked at the budget or an investment or any game plan to reach and disciple men so they can actually do the job as spiritually leading their home, you find that it's financed dead last, or there's really not a game plan at all. So here was the question we have to ask. Do we really believe it? And in this country right now, wherever you go, when you see chaos, you see one thing. men have left their proper place. And now we're getting into this, you know, biological men now want to identify as women. And have you noticed they're becoming dangerous? Anytime men leave their proper place under the authority of the one and only living God, they're dangerous. They always have been. We always will be. And so you're not going to address this nation's spiritual problem with some kind of worldly solution. And so at themanchurch.com and here at the Rick and Bubba Show, we said, well, if that is will have a huge impact, if men have the most influence, if we got men in their proper place, wouldn't we solve a lot of our problems? And so we have we're being intentional about reaching, but then discipling men from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity, because we can't just tell them they need to spiritually lead their family. You got to equip us to do it.
So equip me. Give me a place to start.
Exactly. I mean, I told everybody, how would I feel if I went to church every Father's Day and they told me I was supposed to be the mechanic of my home? And they kept quoting scripture, and I said, my goodness, the Bible clearly says that. And then all of a sudden they just left, and I looked around and I said, anybody going to show me how to be a mechanic? I don't know anything about cars. So when all we do is challenge men, but we don't equip them, we just frustrate them. I appreciate what Promise Keepers did. That was a great movement. I appreciate men's conferences. I still speak at them. But if all we do is challenge and we don't equip, we're just frustrating men, and we must reach them and disciple them. So at themanchurch.com, we have a whole strategy where you can just plug in, and we have now our fourth 40-week curriculum that's coming out, and it is this curriculum is designed to get men into small groups and actually equip them, disciple them, teach them the Word of God, teach them to be able to handle the Word of God, teach them what God's standard is, teach them the truth, not just shout at them and tell them to do it, actually show them how to do it. So we still challenge, but we also equip, and so we have multiple resources available, and we go into the churches and we set up this strategy. And like I say, we're talking about a new resource that we just put out that kind of says what we need to say, right? We need to be transformed. And that's the latest resource that we're putting out right now. It's a 31-day devotional. And listen to this. You know how Jesus is always counterculture, Glenn? The subtitle, picture how mad this makes everybody, Embracing the Death of Self. In the power of God. Go out to today's world and say, you need to die to yourself. That's counterculture, but that's exactly what Jesus said.
Well, and it is so important now. I mean, we're making ourselves into gods. I can decide sexuality. No, you can't. Gender is assigned by God. That's right. Not within your power. Who do you think you are? Well, God. That's who I am.
Right.
And it's a real problem.
Self-worship is the number one, that's the largest growing religion we have in our society right now. It's the worship of self.
So themanchurch.com. Now I've got a question from the other side. You know, the first question was, you know, why are the majority of church congregations made up of women? Where are the men? In your man church, where are all the women? Uh-huh. See, I'm going to put you on the rope. You go ahead and answer that one.
Well, that's an easy question. They're not invited. Here's what it is. Let me tell you where we established the strategy. Honestly, if you go into the church, women and children are being taken care of.
Yeah.
There is a game plan for them, and it's a flawed strategy. The Western church, I don't know when this happened, what was the first seminary to do this, and I use the word seminary loosely. They came a strategy that says you reach the family through the children. You do a great children's program, and you reach the children, then those children reach mom, and then mom reaches dad.
Yep.
Total hogwash. They don't understand men. Men are more than willing to drop their kids and their wives off at church and then go play golf,
yes.
Go hunting, go yes. back to the office.
Yes.
And what's happened, we've designed a lot of Western churches, and they're designed to reach women and children, and men are on the outskirts. They may be pandering. They may be appeasing their wife by going. But the children soon find out this is something that mama wants to do. Daddy's just giving in if he comes with us at all. But this really isn't something he's made a priority. So then the children don't buy in back to that influence again. So we found in Scripture that three times a year, God was telling Moses in the Old Testament, three times a year, this is in Deuteronomy 16:16 and Exodus 34:23, three times a year, bring me the men. So there was a precedent that God said, there is a time when I want to speak just to the men, and I'll tell them what to now implement into their families and into society. Look at the creation. Adam is the one who's told about the tree. Eve's not even created yet. God tells Adam what they can and cannot do and expects him to then tell the wife that he gives her. And Adam, of course, as we know, fails at that job. And when God shows up, he doesn't ask Eve what happened. He says, Adam, what's happened here? So God has always expected men to hear instruction from him and then implement that into their homes, into the church, and into society. And we have failed miserably at equipping men to do that. So we're just stepping up and saying, we'll do it.
I just have to tell you, somewhere in New York City, there is a maybe 24-year-old intern in a cubicle at Media Matters who is now just a heap of blubbering jello after the last couple of minutes. And I thank you for that, Rick. I do thank you for that.
Well, listen, Glenn.
Yeah.
Let me be clear, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me be clear. We don't do images of camo. I do all these things, but that doesn't make you a man. We don't do sports analogies. We don't do the uncomfortable, here comes a sports hero who came to Jesus and he gets up and tries to tell you sports stories and force them down on scripture. That's not what makes you a man. If you're good at sports, you can climb a mountain, you can lift a lot of weight, you want a bar fight, you got camo on. That's not what makes a man. So we don't use any of those images. What makes you a man is whether you're a follower of Christ or not. And if we had told men that Jesus Christ actually said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, enter by a narrow gate, those who choose to follow me, the path will be hard, and most of you can't do it. See, the Marines said the few, the proud, the Marines. Jesus said the few, the humble, my disciples. And if we were telling men that it's actually the most masculine man thing you could ever do is actually decide to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. That's one of our slogans. Be a man, follow Jesus. Disciple men, change everything.
Yeah, but in the Marines, you get that snappy uniform that the chicks dig.
Yeah, and unfortunately, following Jesus, you get a cross.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's becoming more and more less fun, if you will, but more and more important every day.
Oh, look, I go to bed every night sleeping, not because my life's easy, but because my life is secure. It's under the authority of Christ. And to me, there's nothing more important than that. True masculinity is Christ-centered masculinity. You know, when God became a man, he did it perfectly. That should be our example.
Rick, thank you so much. Thanks for everything you guys do. Thank you for your friendship and your broadcast on The Blaze. It's just, you guys are great.
Well, it's kind of you to say that, and thank you so much for allowing the platform. You've been so good to our show, and all of us just love you and glad to be part of Blaze with you. And if anybody needs our help on this, you can go to themanchurch.com. Our brand new resource is a new 31-day devotional. I just wrote the commentary to it, and I kind of talk about my story in there a little bit. It's called Transformed, and that's what we need, embracing the death of self and the power of God. You can get it at themanchurch.com or on Amazon, but it's available now. So it's kind of you, Glenn, to offer us the platform.
Thank you very much, Rick or Bubba, whichever one you are. I don't know the difference between the two.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.